One of the essential themes of Yamim Noraim, beginning already prior to Rosh Hashanah, and certainly extending through Yom HaKippurim, is the concept of the Tzibur of Knesset Yisrael, the collective whole that we are zochet to be part of. And no doubt that that certainly impacts on the concept of Arvus, that we're responsible not merely for our own individual actions, but rather for the entire collective Tzibur. The lesson of Arvus is mentioned, is taught to us even before Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara tells us in Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph that there is a special Takanas Ezra, that it's necessary to lane the Parsha of the Tochacha before one experiences the Yemei Hadin, before the onset of Rosh Hashanah. Tosus explains that the Tochacha embraces two different Parshios, Kisava, followed by Nitzavim, and therefore, invariably, that is always the Kriyas HaTorah before Rosh Hashanah. In earlier times, it wasn't always so obvious. Abudraham points out that already the minhag of old in Eretz Yisrael was to lane only a third of the Parsha, a triennial cycle. And therefore, they were not necessarily in Sefer Dvarim. When you would experience Rosh Hashanah, Abudraham writes, it was necessary to take out a separate Sefer Torah and to lane the brachos and klalos before Rosh Hashanah. After all, this is part of the fulfillment of Eight HaKanas Ezra. And Tosfos raises a fascinating question, Sha'olu Bebeis Midrasha Shor Rabbeinu Nisim, that whenever you have a year, unlike this year, but when you have two Shabbosos in between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, this year of course Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, it's necessary to combine and to divide Parshios. And under such circumstance, when you have a Kriyas HaTorah and then the repetition because of two Shabbosos, it's necessary to combine either Matos and Masai or Nitzavim and Vayelech. And Tosus writes very simply, if I were to give you a choice, which Parshios to combine, which Parshios to separate, let's separate the long Parshios of Matos and Masai. Let's combine the short Parshios of Nitzavim Vayelech. Tosus writes, why do we do the exact opposite? We combine the lengthy Parshios and we separate the shortest Parshios. Why is that the case? Tosus writes, because of this, Takanas Ezra. You have to lane Kitzavo and Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. If you combine Matos and Masai, that will be the Seder HaKriya. If you were to separate Matos and Masai and combine Nitzavim Vayelech, Shava Shuva would be Nitzavim Vayelech, you would not be fulfilling the Takana of Ezra. So Chazal so magnificently arranged the sequence of the Parshios that sometimes it almost goes unnoticed. You don't even realize that this is a special Takanas Ezra. You think this is just Parshas HaShavua, but no, it's essential that you lay in these Parshios before you experience the Yemei Hadin. On one level, no doubt that is critical simply because Brachos and Klolos, isn't that part of the theme of Yomim Noraim? Isn't that part of our tefillah on Yomim Noraim? Shetich l'ashana v'kiloseha, tafil shana b'rechoseha, that the previous year should mark an end to oklala, the ensuing year should be a shnas chayim ubracha. But yet there is another element as well, which is critical. You know, Rav Sadia Gaon and the Halachos Gedolos count the brachos and klalos as one of the tayag mitzvahs. And the question is, in what shape or form is this indeed a mitzvah? The Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvos from Shoresh Gimel, in order to be counted among Taryag Mitzvos, a mitzvah has to be enduring. It has to be no heges l'doros. If it's something which is just a hora shah, it was only relevant then and not relevant now, in such a case, that is not to be counted as one of Taryag Mitzvos. So, for example, the many tzivuim we were given when we left Eretz Mitzrayim, take the dam, place it on the mezuzos, on the mashkov. That was a chiyuv that we had then, but not a mitzvah l'doros, and therefore the Rambam writes, you don't count that as part of Taryag Mitzvos. And with this, the Rambam disagrees with Halachos Gedolos, who counts the brachos and klalos as one of the Taryag Mitzvos. The Rambam writes, that was a hora shah. That only occurred then, it doesn't occur now. How do you count that as one of the Taryag Mitzvos? The Ramban offers one possibility. The Ramban suggests, and he actually uses these terms, that one has to distinguish between the act, the maisa hamitzvah, and the impact, the kiyum hamitzvah. When it comes to Pesach Mitzrayim, there, the dam, mezuzos, mashkov, that was only performed then, and was only directly relevant then. That is a horasha. The brachos and klalos, it's true, that occurred then, but its binding power is equally felt even today. Therefore, since it is kayim lanu ledoros, there's a kiyum ledoros, as such, that is not called the horasha, but that is something that is to be counted in minyan hamitzvahs. If you look in the Sefer Mitzvahs Rav Sadyagon, Rav Yerucham Pillar suggests the following answer, that maybe there is a mitzvah, which is derived from the brachos and klalos, and that is why it's counted in minyan hamitzvos, and I would add, and that is why it's so important, the Takanas Ezra, to lay these parshios before the Yemei Hadin. And that is the mitzvah of Arvus, of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazah. If I were to ask you, what is its source? How do you know that there is that sense of communal responsibility so fundamental to our worldview that one cannot simply be satisfied with personal gain and accomplishment, but rather a person has to focus on the needs of the tzibur as a whole? If a person were to ask you, and what is its source? Where do you see the concept of Arvus? You would point to the Gemara in Sota Daf Lamed Zayin, Sanhedrin Daf Mem Gimel, the brachos and klalos of Har Grizim and Har Evel. Parshas Nitzavim, Hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu, Vaniglos Lano Venino Ad Olam. That climax, that is the source, the Gemara writes, of Arvos. When Bnei Yisrael answered Amen to the brachos and klalos, it was not merely an individual affirmation, but rather, it was an assurance that each person will do whatever he is capable of, that the tzibur as a whole should follow the Derech Hashem. And in fact, the Vilna Gaon has a fascinating comment, that this is a difference between the Tochacha in Vayikra as opposed to that in Kisavo in Dvarim. You know, the Torah often distinguishes between the singular and the plural. A mitzvah which is given b'loshon rabim, and a mitzvah which is given b'loshon yachid. When it comes to loshon rabim, the Gemara often teaches us that mitzvah is the kol echad v'echad, that is given to many, many individuals. Each person is obligated to perform that particular mitzvah. So, for example, the Gemara writes in Sukkot Daf Mem Beis, l'kachtem lachem, dalet minim, l'kicha b'yad kol echad v'echad. Everyone is obligated to be notel Lulav and Esther. Tosus writes, because the Pasuk says, Ulakachtem, Veloksiv, Ulakachta. When it comes to Sfira Sa'omer, the Gemara explains, Menachos Samachay, Usvartem Lachem, Sfira Lachal Echad Be'echad. Everyone has to count the days of the Omer. And Tosus immediately comments, and what about when it comes to counting the years of the Yovel? There the Torah tells us, Visafarta Licha, in the singular. What does that mean? Not each and every individual, but Knesset Yisrael as a whole is obligated to do so. The entity, the unity, the collective nature of Knesset Yisrael is obligated to count the years of the Ovel. How exactly is that done? Tosus writes, Derem Menachos and Dav Samechei, Tosus writes in Ksuvas, Dav Ayin Beis, the Sanhedrin convenes every year, and they count the year of the Ovel. Not a chovas yachid that every individual does so, not the many, but rather singly. Knesset Yisrael will count the years of the Yovel because v'safarta licha. It's a very common drasha that Chazal had. Singular means Knesset Yisrael as a whole, often a reference to Beis Din. You want to accentuate that every individual must, then you will use Lashon Rabbi. The Gemara is even bothered. Sfira Somer is mentioned twice in Chumash. In Parshas Emor, but it's repeated in Parshas Re'eh. In Parshas Re'eh, Shiva Shavuos Tispar Lach. In the singular, the Sifri writes on that pasuk, Bebezdin. There's a special mitzvah that Bezdin is obligated to count the Omer. That's our Girs in the Sifri. There are two countings. One is individually, every person counts the Omer, but the Sanhedrin is obligated to count. Rav Slavichik once explained, because you know, the Sfira Somer is necessary to determine the onset of Shavuos. Shavuos is not based on a calendar date. Shavuos will occur when the culmination of the Yemei Hasir arrives. And that is a chiyuv on Bezdin, of Makadish Yisro v'Hazmanim, and therefore Bezdin is obligated to count as well. That again bears out that distinction. Lashon Yafid, Lashon Rabim, the Vilna Gaon points out that's also true of the Tochacha. The Tochacha in Vayikra, im b'chu kosai teleichu, is b'lashon Rabim. But yet when you come to Kisavo, there the Tochacha is rendered b'lashon Yafid. Why exactly is that true? You know, the Gaon writes that there's a very difficult pasuk following the Tochacha. The Torah tells us in Nitzavim, V'haya v'shamo es divrei ha'ala hazos, when a person hears the words of this Tochacha, V'hizbarech b'levavo lemor shalom i'yeli, a person will respond and say that, you know, that I can follow Shriras Libi, I can follow any desire of my heart, and shalom i'yeli, without any repercussion at all. I will lead a peaceful life. And simply, that's the response to the Tochacha. The Tochacha is so frightening. Now the Tochacha tells you the catastrophic result of not fulfilling the Torah Hashem, and a person responds to that Shalom Yeli Kishur Yisribi Eilech. How could that possibly be? The Diuk of the Gaon is exactly this point. V'haya v'shamo es divrei ha'ala hazos. That's the response to this Tochacha. The Tochacha in Bechuk Kosai is B'loshon Rabim. That addresses every individual. This Tochacha is rendered B'loshon Yachid. Often, B'loshon Yachid means as long as the Tzibur as a whole, to the exclusion of the individual. I don't count the Yovel, they count the Yovel. That's considered to be sufficient. The Gaon explains that you hear this Tochacha, which is B'loshon Yachid. The Torah is telling us, don't make a tragic flaw, a tragic error, and maintain that somehow this is only binding on the tzibur collectively, but not individually. And that's why the Torah goes out of its way and says, that's not the meaning here, but you know what the meaning here is? Lo itchem levadchem, anochi kores esabris hazos. This Tochacha is not only binding to each one of you individually, but rather it will bind any future generation as well. Rashi writes, L'rabos, Doros Haba'im Achrav, this Tochacha B'loshon Yachid is inclusive. Anyone who will ever become part of Knesset Yisrael is bound to observe these words of the Tochacha. Why? Because this Tochacha is binding on the collective entity of Knesset Yisrael. That is the concept of Arvus, of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. And therefore, it is not coincidental at all that we derive the principle of Arvus from this particular Tochacha. After all, how is it possible that you can have a Tochacha B'loshon Yachid that binds all of Knesset Yisrael? The answer is Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, that principle of Arvus. And that is the marked difference between the Tochacha in Vayikra as opposed to this Tochacha of Lo Itchem Levadchem, Anoi Koris Asabris Azos Vesa Ola Azos. The Ramban has a magnificent comment in Parshas Truma that the same thing is found when it comes to Binyan HaMishkan in Binyan Beis HaMikdash. If I were to ask you, it's necessary, no doubt, to have a Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, to have a menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, to have the kiyor, to have the shulchan. If I were to ask you, whose obligation is that? Is every individual obligated to? Or would one argue that, no, this is a collective chiyuv. Just see to it that you have a functioning Beis HaMikdash. I would argue the latter certainly is true, that as long as we see to it that there is a mizbeach, that there is a shulchan, there is a menorah, that is considered to be sufficient. And the Ramban writes in Parshas Truma, that's exactly why the Lashon Yachid is used, ve'asisa, ve'asisa shulchan, ve'asisa kiyor. Because after all, not everyone has to do so. As long as the kelim are present, that is what will satisfy the need of the halacha. The Ramban is quite bothered. That's not true when it comes to Aram. when it comes uniquely to Aram, the Pasuk tells us, Va'asu Aram, B'loshen Rabbi. The Ramban writes, because after all, what was the purpose of Aram? All of the other kelim were necessary for Avodah. Avodah. Why is it necessary to have a Mizbeach? A mitzvah of Akrabas HaKarbanos. Why a Shulchan? The mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim. The menorah, mitzvah of Hadlaka. In fact, the Ramban writes in Sefer Mitzvos, Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, there is no mitzvah to make a Shulchan, to make a Mizbeach. All of that is only a Hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah is to perform the Avodah. The Ramban writes, not true when it comes to Aram. If I were to ask you why is an Aram so essential, you wouldn't be able to answer for the purpose of Avodah. And therefore the Ramban writes in Sefer HaMitzvos that Va'asu Aram is a separate mitzvah. It is not just a Hechsher Avodah. With this the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos and Mitzvah Chav. The Ramban writes that Kalim are typically not included in Minyan HaMitzvos, with the one exception of Aram. And then the Ramban writes the next point, and that is Va'asu Aram. Aram is written B'loshon Rabbim, B'loshon Rabbim. Why? Because here, everyone was obligated to participate in Asiya Sa'aron. Not everyone had to participate in building a Mizbeach, in erecting a Shulchan, but everyone had to participate in Aron, and that is the meaning of V'osu. V'osu Aron, the Rabban writes, Yavu Kulam V'yasku B'Aron, that everyone had to go ahead and do so. This is a mitzvah incumbent upon each and every individual. And the Ramban goes on to explain, how is that possible? How did everyone have their share in Va'osu Aram? The Ramban writes, there were those who Shiyazer, LeBetzalel, Ezer, Ma'at, who were able to forge the Aram with the help of Betzalel. There were those Sheyisnadvu, who contributed. There was those sheyichavnu ledavar, achidish the Ramban, and that is one's mindset, one's kavanas alev, the inner desire. Person yearns to link to the Aron Hashem, to link to the Torah Hashem. But the Ramban writes that all of that is based on va'asu, va'asu, which is b'loshon Rabbim. Rabbim always means l'chol echad v'echad. You know, one could suggest the following possible chiddush. That the Aron really has two elements to it, no? On the one hand, the Aron is part of the Klei HaMikdash. But there's a role of the Aron, even independent of Beis HaMikdash, at all. And where do you see that that is true? Very simply, in Parshas Ekev, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai, and independent of any mitzvah, of building a Mishkan, building a Beis HaMikdash, Moshe Rabbeinu is told to build an Aron. If I were to ask you, what is the purpose of the Aron? You would not tell me, well, it's part of the Mishkan. There was no obligation of Mishkan as of yet. What was the purpose of the Aron? Very simply, to house the Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai with the Torah Hashem, and therefore it's necessary to have an Aron that houses the Luchos. And therefore, one could suggest that there are two elements, two halachos, when it comes to the Aron. On the one hand, the Aron is critical, it's vital to house the Luchos. On the other hand, the Aron is part of the Mishkan and part of the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe one could even suggest a point further, and that is that, you know, the Aron was made up of two different materials. It was made up of atzei shittim of wood. It was also constructive, it was overlaid with gold. And perhaps one could argue that the two materials as well reflect the two halachos of the Aron. The role of the Zahav, the gold, was the Kavod, the Tiferes. The role of the Aron in the Mikdash Hashem, in the Mishkan Hashem, similar to other Kelim. The Aron Eitz was simply the role of the Aron to house the Luchos. And why would I argue that that's true? Because when you look in Parshas Ekev, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told, you come down from Har Sinai, you have the Luchos, you have to build an Aron to house the Luchos, that Aron was merely an Aron Eitz. No Zahav was used because that Aron was not part of the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash. So perhaps two halachos of Aron, two different materials that were used in fashioning the Aron, representing these two halachos. go a step further. What I ask you as follows. If I tell you that va'asu Aron, that Aron is not merely a collective responsibility, but Aron is a chiyuv incumbent upon each and every individual, which aspect of the Aron do you think applies to each individual? That it is not merely a chovas hatzibur. And perhaps the answer is exactly that point. That no, the role of the Aron that reflects the primacy of the Torah Hashem, the role of the Aron to house the Luchos, that is a chiyuv incumbent upon each individual. Each person is obligated to house the Aron, to find their niche in the Torah Hashem, to reflect the primacy of the Torah Hashem. The role of the Aron as part of the Klei HaMikdash, that is similar to the Shulchan, similar to the Mizbeach, that is a collective chiyuv incumbent upon all of Knesset Yisrael. So perhaps again, two halachos of Aron, housing luchos, the primacy of Torah Hashem, and Klei HaMikdash, two different materials of Aron, the Atzei Shittim and the Zahav, and two different roles. One is considered to be a chiyuv incumbent upon each individual, housing the luchos. The other, mikdash, that is a chovas hatzibur. The reason one could suggest all those stages is very simply, when you look in Parshas Truma, the Torah tells us va'osu Aron, right? The Ramban marvels va'osu lashon rabin l'chol echad bi'echad, and the pasuk continues atzei shittim. Everyone is obligated to construct the Aron Eitz. The Torah makes no mention at all of the gold of the Aron, but va'asu Aron atzei shittim. And then how does the pasuk continue? V'tzipisa oso zahav. You know, v'tzipisa is b'lashon yachid, and va'asu is b'lashon rabim. Va'asu Aron and v'tzipisa. Why exactly that shift in the pasuk? Perhaps exactly that halacha. Tzipiso zozav is the role of the Aron in Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash. That's Lashon Yachid, that's a Chovas HaTzibur. Va'osu Aron is Va'osu Aron Atzei Shittim. That's the Aron Eitz of Moshe Rabbeinu. That is a chiyuv incumbent upon Kol Echad V'Yachad. And then how incredibly meduyok the pasuk reads, Va'osu Aron Atzei Shittim v'tzipisa oso zahav. A separation of the Aron Eitz and the Zav, Lashon Yachid, Lashon Rabbin, the two halachos, two partios, two fundamental roles of Knesset Yisrael in the destruction of the Aron itself. And therefore, this bears out that point as well, as the Ramban writes. Lashon Yachid, the entity, the unity, the collective nature of all of Knesset Yisrael. The Bahag, Rav Sadia Gaon, counts the brachos and klalos of Kisavo as a mitzvah. What mitzvah? Why isn't that a horasha? Perhaps the answer is exactly that point. It's the mitzvah of arvos, of Kol Yisrael arevim zebazeh. A chiddush that arvos is considered to be the mitzvah, and perhaps a further chiddush that arvos is an independent mitzvah. Because, you know, perhaps one could argue, even if there is a mitzvah of arvos, maybe one could argue that arvos is not an independent mitzvah, but arvos is an extension of my obligation in each and every mitzvah. That is strongly implied by Rabbi Kiveger in three different places. Rabbi Kiveger in the Chidushim in Brachos and Daf Chaf, and Rabbi Kiveger in Megillah and Daf Yotes, Rabbi Kiveger in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reishayin Aleph, and Dinei Kiddush always assumes that arvos is an extension of my obligation in a given mitzvah. It's not an independent mitzvah. But perhaps that's the view of Rav Sadia Gaon, the view of Halachos Gedolos, that no, we view Arvos as a separate mitzvah of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. No, the Meshech Chachma has a similar discussion regarding the mitzvah of Tshuva, because the Minchas Chinuch notices that the Rambam at least doesn't explicitly count Tshuva as a mitzvah. Why is it that Tshuva should not be counted? After all, certainly, a Din D'Oraisa of Tshuva. Menachas Chinuch writes what Rav Slavetchik always maintained was a difficult position, that there's no mitzvah of Tshuva. Tshuva is an opportunity. Tshuva is a privilege, but not necessarily a mitzvah. Quite foolish of one not to take advantage of the privilege of Tshuva. charata, kabbalah, asid. Imagine in the business world, a person invests, and the investment absolutely crashes, a person loses everything, and you turn to the person and say, you know, if you have emes charata and kabbalah, asid, that's it, you'll be able to regain all your losses. No, with charata, the person will have earnest charata. Had I known, I never would have. Certainly true. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu grants us that privilege when it comes to tshuva, that one can undo. One can undo retroactively. That's donos nase kizuchlios. That's the privilege, the promise. We're the beneficiaries of tshuva. I mean, Chaschin Achrai, it's not a mitzvah, but an opportunity. The Meshech Chachma writes, doesn't think that that really is the case. No doubt there is a mitzvah of tshuva. Why doesn't the Rambam count tshuva as a mitzvah? Because tshuva is not an independent mitzvah. You know what? There are taryag mitzvahs of tshuva. Every obligation of the Torah. The Torah tells us you must, you may not. And if you somehow fall short, the Torah, as an extension of that given mitzvah, gives you the opportunity to redirect, to correct that chait, that avera, perhaps tshuva as an extension of each and every mitzvah, and perhaps that's why the Rambam does not count it independently. But a fascinating possibility when it comes to that element, that mitzvah of arvos. One of the aspects or related elements to arvos is the mitzvah of tochacha. How is it that one rebukes a fellow Jew? You know, the Torah tells us a mitzvah, that hocheach tocheach es amisecha. You see that there's a Jew that is committing an avera? So very simply, you go over to the person, you tell him what he's doing is wrong, the person very graciously thanks you for making him aware of that, he changes his ways, he's better off, you're better off, and shalom al Yisrael. But we know very often, the attempt to go ahead and to give tochacha is not at all that simple. Sometimes our words don't impact. Sometimes our words don't resonate. Right? When you tell a person, you know, what you're doing isn't exactly fully appropriate. And sometimes, Rachman Litzlan, our divrei tochacha can be counterproductive. That we may be sincerely attempted to do that for the betterment of the individual, only sometimes to have it erupt, to explode in our face and to realize that, you know, maybe one should not have said anything at all. And this, no doubt, is an important sugya hashas. What are the parameters? What are the guidelines of that element of arvus, the mitzvah of tochacha? When you look in the Gemara Yevamos and Daf Samachay, the Gemara tells us seemingly a very simple principle. Kishem shemitzvah al ha'adam lomar davar hanishma. That just as it's a mitzvah for a person to speak up, when your words will be accepted, when your words will resonate, kach mitzvah al ha'adam shelo lomar davar she'eino nishma. Sometimes it's a mitzvah simply to be quiet, to look the other way and not to say a word. If that's all you had was that sugni of amos, I would simply say the following, that a person has to make a certain assessment as to what the impact of his divrei tochacha will be. If it is beneficial, then yes. If it's a davar she'eino nishma, mitzvah al ha'adam shelo lomar davar she'eino mitzvah, the halacha demands that a person simply be quiet. The difficulty is as follows. When you look in Meseches Erechin and Daf Tezayin, the Gemara raises the following issue. Ad heichan mitzvah tochacha. How far do you have to go when it comes to the case of tochacha? And the Gemara quotes three possibilities. Rav, Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan. How far do you have to go? Rav maintains, and the Rambam, Perek Vav, Hilchos Deos, passes like the view of Rav, ad kidei haka. You have to pester the person and give tochacha until he's ready physically to lash out against you. But when that happens, then you have a right to say, okay, I've said my piece. Ad kidei haka. And even Shmuel disagrees partially. Ad kidei klola. Until a person is about to curse you. He doesn't physically abuse you, but he curses you. And the most extreme kula, Rabbi Yochanan, is ad kidei nezifu. When you see a person is so angry, then you have a right to be quiet. But a very simple kasha, that no, haka, klola, nezifa, is this a davar hanishma? right? Different degrees in terms of the vehemence, the adamancy of that individual who's responding negatively to your telkacha. Why not just simply argue, isn't this clearly a davar she'ino nishma, and just simply don't say anything at all? How do you resolve that apparent contradiction between the Gemara Yevamos Samach Hei, the Gemara Erech Nadav Tezayin? And here you find several possible approaches. One approach, this is what Avi Nezer deals with in length, Yerodea Simin Tav Samach Aleph. Maybe there's a difference between shogeg as opposed to mezi. The person who's engaging in that avera, he's doing so willfully, or the person is completely unaware. He's clueless. He doesn't know that this is considered to be forbidden. Because if a person is a shogeg, then one could apply the principle of the Gemara Beitz and Aflamed, mutav shi shogin va'al yuhu mizidin. When a person is violating an avera b'shogeg, you're going to go over to that person and say that, you know what, this is something that's wrong. What happens if, as a result of doing so, the person continues that practice? And now they're doing so willfully, whereas opposed to prior to your tochacha, they were doing so inadvertently. That, the Gemara writes, is inappropriate tochacha. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid writes that that is a violation of lifnei iver lo sitei mechshol. It's the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. It's found in Elef Tav Tav Kuf Samach Dalet. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid writes, what's an example of lifnei iver? A person does something b'shogeg, you tell him it's wrong, now they do so b'mezid as a result of your admonition. You meant well, but now you're not making them into any greater tzaddik. Now, quite the opposite. Your divrei tochacha was detrimental to that individual, if it's not to his betterment, to his detriment in such a case, in issa daraisa, a chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Maybe one could write that that's the Gemara Yevamos. If a person is doing so b'shogeg, one has to weigh and measure, be very careful. Will my words be received appropriately? If not, I risk lif ne'iver. Mitzvah al adam, shalo lomar davar shem nishma. But what happens if a person is doing so b'mezid? A person is somewhat defiant. A person knows that it's wrong. So he's doing it b'mezid anyway. Is there anything worse by my informing him that, you know, that one should not go ahead and do so? Then we apply the principle of the Gemara Erech and Daft Zayin of Ad Kadei Haka, Ad Kadei Klala, Ad Kadei Nezifa. And Avnei Nezer makes the following statement. Maybe you'll argue that, you know what, the whole purpose of tochacha is that the word should be received, the word should impact, I'll influence the individual. And if I know that that will not be the case, my words will have little effect, there's no mitzvah of tochacha. Isn't the purpose of tochacha to better the ways of individual? And maybe one should argue that therefore tochacha only applies if that's the case. If you look in the Sefer Yireim, in Mitzvah Lamed Zayin, the Miri and Shabbos, Daf Nun Hei, they both argue tochacha only applies when the person is willing to receive the divrei tochacha. And if it doesn't, regardless of whether it's shogeg or mezid, then there is no mitzvah tochacha. Avnei Nezer questions, how can that be? How can that be? You're going to argue that what? Well, the purpose of tochacha is to better the ways of the individual, and if that will not be accomplished, then the mitzvah doesn't apply. Avnei Nezer questions, isn't that called darshinan tamei dekra? And don't we assume lo darshinan tamei dekra? Machlokas Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. Do you have a right to argue that, you know what, this is the reason for the halacha, and I will limit or expand the scope of the halacha based on the reason? When the reason applies, yes. When the reason doesn't apply now. That's Machlokes, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon. Right? That sugi is found above Metziah Kuf Tezvav, where the Gemara describes as follows. The Torah tells us that lo sach bo beged almana. When an almana comes to you and she asks for a loan, you're not allowed to demand from her a collateral. Why is that true? Presumably, she's coming to you in need. Her husband has passed away, she has so little, and therefore it's not appropriate for you to say, fine, but give me that collateral, right, in place of that loan. So therefore the Pasuk says, lo sach bo beged almana. And what happens if this almana is quite, quite wealthy? And she's coming to you for a loan for purposes of investments, not because that she can hardly make ends meet. So Rabbi Shimon writes that the Isser of Losafo Beger Amana only applies to an Amana who is an Ani. It doesn't apply to an Amana who is an Ashira. In other words, we have a right to assume the reason and limit the halacha based on its reason. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, Losachto beger amana, period. Amana, bein shi'aniya, bein shi'ashira, ein l'mnashkin enosa. You cannot demand a collateral irrespective of her financial standing. That's the pasuk in Chumash. You have no right to argue only under this circumstance and not that. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Lo darshin in time of the crowd. Rabbi Nezer writes, Lo darshin in time of the crowd. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda. I would just argue as follows. That very Gemara, Bav Metzia Kuf Tezvav, raises the following. I'll give you a case where even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that darshin in time of the crown. The Torah tells us when it comes to a melech that lo yar b'lo nashi. A melech should not have an excessive number of wives. Rabbi Yehuda states the following great chiddush. Yisa, a melech can have many, many wives. Ubovad shelo yehei misira sislima. As long as he makes sure to marry women who will encourage him to follow the Torah Hashem and not deter him from the Derech Hashem. The Gemara says, isn't that darshin in time of the Kra? After all, lo yarv lo nashim, lo yosel avava. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Yehuda says, and if not, then not. If that would occur, then yes, and if not, then not. Isn't that a steerer? When it comes to Losafo Begramana, Rabbi Yehuda says that categorically no. When it comes to Melech, it depends. So the Gemara gives a clear answer. But it's very important, the halacha. The Gemara writes there's a marked difference between Losafo Begramana and Loyar Blanashim. Losafo Begramana, the Torah does not tell us the reason. Losafo Begramana, period. The reason is not incorporated into the fabric of the halacha. When it comes to Liyar Blanashim, the Pasuk says, V'lo Yosel Avavo. Rabbi Yehuda maintains, if the Tam is Mefurish Bekra, then of course, Darshin and Tam Bekra. Then the Tam is part of the parameter, the guidelines of the Halacha. And then one would argue, when the reason applies, the Halacha would in fact apply. And there are many such applications of this principle. If the Tam is Mefurish Bekra, then obviously yes. You know, Bezras Hashem, soon we celebrate Sukkot. A little unusual. The Tur and the Mechaber have an entire simin, Tafrei Shchafei, devoted to the significance of Sukkah, the timing of Chag HaSukkah. It's a little bit unusual, no? Why do you celebrate Sukkot during this time of the year and not during Nisan? And what is the Sukkah supposed to represent? Important questions, but that's a simin in Shulchan Aruch. Why is that a simin in Shulchan Aruch? The Bach writes very simply, because the Torah goes out of its way and tells us that sit in Sukkah, basukos teishvu, and then the Torah continues, leman yedu doroseichem, in order that you should know what? Know the significance of the mitzvah, know why you're sitting in the Sukkah, when you're sitting in the Sukkah. When the Pasuk goes out of its way and tells you the reason that, leman yedu, the Bach writes, you don't fully fulfill the mitzvah. If you don't have that in mind, and the Rav Haner, Bikur Yaakov, Tafrei Shchafei writes, you don't fulfill the mitzvah at all, if you sit in the Sukkah, without realizing the significance, because the Torah goes out of its way and highlights the meaning of Sukkah. You have to realize why you do so. And that's why you can't have a Sukkah where the schach is so tall that it's out of the line of vision, because after all, Laman Yedu Doroseichem. If the Torah goes out of its way and tells you not only what you must do, but why you must do so, that why is considered to be absolutely critical. You know, you find this two other places in Arachaim. Simen Ches, Simen Chafalaf. Simen Ches is Hilchos Tzitzis. Simen Chafalaf is considered Hilchos Tfilin. What do these cases have in common? In Tzitzis as well as Tfilin, the Torah says Laman. You have to don Tzitzis, why? Laman Tizkur. You have to put on tefillin. Why? Because leman tiyeh taras Hashem b'ficha. So the Mechaber writes, when you wear your tzitzis, realize you're doing so to serve as a reminder of all the mitzvahs Hashem. When you wear your tefillin, realize you're doing so leman tiyeh taras Hashem b'ficha, that the Torah should always be with you, and a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. And if you don't have that in mind, you are not going to fully fulfill these mitzvot, because the tam is mafurish b'kra. That's exactly what the Gemara writes about Metzia Kuf Tezvav. If the reason is built in, it's built in. If the Torah doesn't mention the reason, that's part of Talmud Torah. It is an enhancement to the mitzvah to understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us as such. But if the Torah tells us the reason, that is considered to be critical. And therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda, who is not Darish Taima Dekra here, certainly is Darish Taima Dekra. I would ask you the following. When it comes to the mitzvah of Tochacha, is the Tam Mefurish Bekra, or is it not? Not so clear. The Torah tells us, Hocheach Tocheach Es Amisecha, the mitzvah of Tochacha. But then the pasuk continues and says, V'lo Sisa Alav Chet. What is the Sefer Dekra? V'lo Sisa Alav Chet. What do those four words mean? Rashi Al HaTorah writes differently than Rashi explains in the Seches Yivamos. Rashi Al HaTorah writes as follows. The Torah is addressing an important aside. Hocheach Tocheach Es Amisecha, give Tochacha. But make sure when you give tochacha lo sisa lo chet that you don't unnecessarily embarrass the person. The Torah is just simply addressing not why you give tochacha, but how tochacha is given. You can go over to a person very privately and with a very soft hand give them tochacha. Or a person somehow in a more public manifestation can admonish an individual. Rashi writes, that's what the pasuk is telling us. There's a mitzvah tochacha, but be careful. Don't commit the chait. You know, sometimes in the process of tochacha, people can think that they're fighting a mochemes mitzvah, and a mitzvah lefarsim. No, you have to do so in a soft-handed, quiet way. Hocheach tocheach es amisecha, v'lo sisa alav chait. According to Rashi, the reason for tochacha is not really mentioned necessarily in that pasuk. If you look in the Ramban and others, and even Rashi Nivamos Nafsamachei, Rashi writes that there is a reference in the pasuk for the reason of tochacha. The Rabban explains as follows. A person is coming in chait, and you know what? I'm empowered. I could impact. I could influence that person. So you have to give tochacha, because if you don't, by virtue of your silence, you are going to bear the responsibility of that chait. Lo sisa lav chait is not addressing simply how you should do so. Do so in a soft-handed, soft-spoken fashion. But losis avchet is addressing the reason for tochacha. Tochacha is to better the ways of that individual, and if a person is in a position to do so and he doesn't, he's going to bear a measure of responsibility. V'koshlu ish v'avonachim. In other words, that the tam is mefurish b'kra. And if that really is true, then this is a case where everyone agree that darshin and tam d'kra. I would even give you another example. This is a chiddush that you find Shitim Ukabetis Bav Metzia Daf Lamed Aleph in the name of the Tosas Arash. The Gemara writes explicitly, if the reason is black and white, then everyone agrees that Darshin and Taima Dekra. The Tosas Arash is bothered by the following. The Gemara describes in the Sugyan Bav Metzia as follows, that this is a Sugyan Bav Metzia and Daf Tzadik, that there's an isra of chasima, lo sachsam shor b'disha. It's inappropriate to muzzle an animal and have the animal plow for you. After all, the Torah insists that you have to grant free rein to the animal while he's plowing. And therefore, you'll violate an isra daraisa, the law of chasima, if the animal is doing its act of plowing and you don't allow the animal to graze. This isra chasima, as you know, is the model for chiv malchus b'chol ha-Torah kula, dumi d'lav, the chasima. The Ravid writes in Shittu Kabetzes, and Bav Masir, Aflamet Aleph, that's the whole source of Tzar Balei Chaim. You see that the Torah says you have to be concerned with the well-being, with the betterment of an animal. How can you ignore that the animal is going to suffer by plowing and not being able to go into graze? So the Gemara raises the following issue. What happens if Haisa Ocheles Umas Rezes? And Bav Masir and Avtzani. Haisa Ocheles Umas Rezes. The animal is going to plow, the animal is going to eat, the animal is going to drop dead. Now, the animal is going to eat this crop is poisonous. Now, this crop is detrimental to the animal. So, are you going to argue? Well, there's Nisr Hasima.
I have no choice but the animal graze and eat and die or become ill. No, the Gemara assumes you have to muzzle that animal. On what basis? Pasuk says no. I say yes. How could that be? The Tosas HaRash Rai, after all, you're going to tell me, well, the reason for chasima is the well-being of the animal, and here the betterment of the animal dictates that I muzzle. Isn't all this called Darshin and Taima Dekra? It's the Tosas HaRash Rai. It's a pretty fundamental principle that everyone agrees that Darshin and Taima Dekra, if the tam is Mefurush Bekra, that was one, or if the tam is self-evident, if the tam is obvious, if the tam is apparent, even if the pasuk doesn't mention anything at all, but if it's obvious that the isra chasima is driven by what is detrimental or beneficial for this animal, so therefore if it's clearly to the detriment of the animal to eat, that is not included in the isra of chasima. In other words, if the reason is quite apparent, then also we assume Darshin and Taima Dekra. One could argue that's true when it comes to the mitzvah of Tochacha as well. After all, if the purpose of Tochacha, as the Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvos, is to better the ways of individual, so therefore the Me'iri and the Yireim write, if a person is not going to listen to your Divrei Tochacha at all, and your Divrei Tochacha will be counterproductive, if the words won't impact, if the words won't resonate, even if a person is doing so amazing, there is no such mitzvah of tochacha under such circumstance. And therefore, even b'meizid, we would assume that mitzvah al ha'adam shelo lomar davar shino nishma. There's a fascinating sheet mikubetzes. It's found above Mitzian daf lamed aleph in the name of the Ramach. You know, for Rabbanim, you understand the Shita of Kovetzes maybe with a deeper meaning. The Shita of Kovetzes writes, maybe there's no stealing. On the one hand, the Gemara writes that mitzvah ala adam shelo lomar davar shino nishma. If your words aren't going to impact, just be quiet. And yet, the Gemara writes in Erechim Davta Zayin, ad kedei haka, ad kedei klala, ad kedei nasifa. Isn't it obvious that your words are not going to impact? The person is not willing to receive anything that you are saying. Haka, klala, nazifa. How can that be? You know, a Rav gives a drasha. Then sometimes the Rav will give divrei musar right to the kehila. What's the worst response to the Rav's drasha? Shabbashuva drasha. You know what the worst response? No response. No indifference. No response. Or someone will come up and say, you really gave it to them. Give it to them. No response. Indifference. A person comes and he takes issue. And sometimes a person can take issue somewhat passionately. And sometimes a person can challenge. Shita Mukubetzes writes, but take a look. Shita Mukubetzes, but Masid Aflamet Aleph. That means it's a Davar Hanishma. You hit a chord. It resonated. You didn't hit a chord. That person would not be so defiant. You know, he comes and he challenges. Apparently, that's an indicator that it is a davar hanishma. Davar hanishma doesn't always mean that absolute reversal. That one moment no, the next moment yes. But you've planted a seed that sometimes when things will cool, you know, a little introspection, and you never know what eventually will in fact resonate. But Shita Mukubetzes writes, Nazifa, Haka, Klala, that's an indicator that in fact it is a Davar Hanishma. It's a fascinating possibility, but without psychology, Mufurish, Shita Mukubetzes, Mametzian Daf, Lamed Aleph. Yes. It certainly is part, I think, of a broader picture. I would tell you that, as the Me'iri writes, one has to make sure it's a Davar Hanishma. And a Davar Hanishma, that it's something that resonates, that the words are indeed received, and that the goal, if not the immediate goal, but the goal will hopefully be one of redirection. Sometimes that doesn't happen. The Bir Halachi even quotes in Simtaf Reish Ches, Hocheach Tochiach Es Amisecha. Amisechna is a technical term. It means amitcha b'mitzvah. So it implies a certain commonality, where two people are on the same page. They're holding in the same place. And then you can give appropriate tochacha. Sometimes a person, you know, is not at that point that they will be at all receptive, and it can be terribly counterproductive. In order to hit this button now, when you know that the repercussion could be one which is significant. But in principle, it applies to relationships, it applies even in marriage, but one always have to consider the dynamic, the broader dynamic of when in fact to apply and to impose the mitzvah of tochacha. Let me just conclude. There's a fascinating comment of Tosfos regarding arvos. You know, when the Ritva describes arvos, the Ritva is found in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavtes, the Ritva is found in a separate work called Hilchos Brachos, Perakei Halacha Aleph. The Ritva writes, the essence of arvos is all of Klal Yisrael is considered al pidin to be guf echad, a single entity, a single unit. And therefore, what happens to another individual is an extension of what I experience myself. The Rishalmi's mashal, that if a person is banging in a hammer and his right hand hits his left hand, you wouldn't expect the left hand to pick up the hammer and to club the right hand, because you know, the same individual is going to suffer doubly if that in fact is done. And the need to view all of Knesset Yisrael as a single unit. Tosfos Menachos, Daf Lamed Zayin. Tosfos writes the following, that there was a challenging din Torah brought before Shlomo HaMelech. A father died, and they had to divide the estate. Seemingly a simple, simple division. So the sons wanted to meet with Shlomo Melech simply to divide the Yerusha. You know, Shlomo Melech probably thought, this is an easier din Torah, simply how to divide. All of a sudden, a son walks in, one body, two heads. A Siamese twin, a Tosfos Menachos, and Daf Lamed Zayin. The two-headed being demanded Pishnayim, that he's entitled to two shares of Yerusha. And the brothers, no, come on, you're a single unit, you're a single entity, you're Guf Echad, you're only entitled to one share. That was the Din Torah. Shlomo Melech paskind Guf Echad, only entitled to a single share, end of Tosfos. Fascinating. Tosfos doesn't tell us how Shlomo Melech knew that that was true. That was the Pesach of Shlomo Melech. So on the Daf in Menachos, but please take a look. On the Daf, Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, in the gloss, in the margin, there's a Shita Mekubetzes. Shita Mekubetzes Os Yurches. How did Shlomo Melech know to give such a Pesach Halacha? You know, it's hard when you look at all the Sugyas Hashas, not so easy to determine whether one being, a second being, you know, Rav Moshe has such a fantastic tshuva of a child born as such, and the doctor's consideration that if you separate, one will live, one will die, how you exactly assess which is, which isn't, which is a ben kayama, which is not, complicated repercussions. How do you determine? Guf echad or shnei gufim? So Tosfos doesn't tell us. Tosfos doesn't tell us the secret. So Shita Mekubetzes Os Yurches writes, this is what Shlomo Melech did. Shlomo Melech took a sack, and he placed it over one of the heads, and he took hot water and he poured it on the other. And Shlomo Melech took a step back and waited to see who would react, who would scream out in the pain of that process. Shlomo Melech did so. The covered head screamed out in pain, and Shlomo Melech paskened gufecha. That's the Shita Mekubetzes. The ability of one Jew to be able to empathize, to be able to experience that sense of pain at the experience of another, to celebrate fully when one is besimcha, and to be able to feel that sense of crushing pain when a person experiences a blow, that al pidin is the measure of whether one is guf echad or whether it is shnei gufim. That was the psak of Shlomo Melech. The Ritva writes, that's arvos. Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Bazeh is all of Knesset Yisrael, literally is considered to be Guf Echad. The only way to emerge through the Yamin Arayim is through the notion of Guf Echad. It's not enough to say vidui in the sun in Shmoneh Esrei. You have to repeat vidui in the Tfilas HaTzibur and the Chazaras HaShas. It's not enough to sound the tkios individually, but you have to do so al seder habrachos in the misgeres of the Tfilas HaTzibur. As the Rambam emphasizes, our secret tool of standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yemei HaDin is we don't stand alone individually, but part of a collective whole of the Tzibur of Knesset Yisrael, of all of Knesset Yisrael is considered to be Guf Echad. And sometimes that we can be swept away with the Kaparas HaTzibur, even if somehow individually our tshuva will fall somewhat short of that mark. But that bar, that standard of Guf Echad, means that a person has to be able to empathize with others, whether it's through the mitzvah of Tochacha, whether it's through Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, not be satisfied with personal gain, personal accomplishment, personal Shmiras HaMitzvos, but rather to see to it that we answer Amen as that Gemara in Sota Lamed Zayin, not only my personal affirmation, but to the collective Tzibur as a whole. Perhaps this is why we begin the Yom Narayim with the Kriya of the Tochacha of Kisavo and Yitzavim, the source of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. What better introduction and what greater climax and conclusion to Yom Narayim than all of Knesset Yisrael as a whole being able to celebrate the privilege, the promise, the opportunity of Slicha Mechilu Kapar. Bezras Hashem, we should be Zoche individually as well as part of the Kapara Satzibur. Shetichla Shana Bekiloseha, Tochel Shana Brachoseha. This wondrous celebratory new year should be a Shnas Chaim Lebracha.